This is KYUK, public radio for the Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta. I'm Greg Kim. The Bethel Winter House won't just be for winter this year. Last night, the City Council unanimously approved spending $60,000 of city funds to keep the homeless shelter open throughout the summer. In the same meeting, the council approved a salary for a new police chief of as much as $140,000. Bethel Winter House President John Cochran made his appeal for funding at last night's council meeting. He said the coronavirus pandemic has forced other organizations to close their doors, adding new challenges for Bethel's homeless population.
They can't go to the hospital. They can't go to public restrooms inside of stores and restaurants. They're pretty much being turned away from everywhere that they try to go.
Cochran says anywhere between a dozen and 40 guests visit the Winter House daily. Currently, the shelter offers free breakfast, lunch, and dinner, plus a place to go to the bathroom during the day. The city administration said it had already donated $15,000 to Winter House under powers granted by the emergency ordinance. The city has also set up several porta-potties around town. Fire Chief Bill Howell said he had discussions about the homeless shelter with the state when he was acting city manager. In those discussions, he said there were concerns that a homeless shelter could be a dangerous hub during a coronavirus pandemic.
Any sheltering that involves putting large amounts of people in a open room is not a way to curb the spread.
Cochran says the cots in the Winter House are spaced 6 feet apart. The shelter also gives people an opportunity to wash their hands regularly, and the facility has been handing out fresh face masks daily. Councilmember Alyssa Leary agreed a large communal space is not ideal, but said access to hand washing and meals and masks outweighed the risks.
You do the congregate setting and you just try to have as many safeguards in place as possible. That's still going to be a better situation than if they had nowhere else to go.
Council members also agreed that it was likely, but not promised, that the Federal CARES Act would reimburse the city the $60,000. That's because COVID-19 makes it more necessary to operate the Winter House in the summer. Cochran said the funds would keep the shelter open for at least 90 days. The city council then turns its attention to the search for a new police chief, which has been going on for almost a year. With acting police chief Amy Davis also leaving the department, it's become more urgent. Davis reported the hiring process for her successor has not been going well. She said the sticking point with most candidates has been the $114,000 salary.
You're going to have to pay more money if you want a decent applicant. You're definitely going to get what you pay for.
The ordinance proposed bumping up the budgeted salary for police chief to $140,000, an increase of over $25,000. Councilmember Hugh Diment suggested that the current economic situation should be a time of austerity, not higher spending. Councilmember Michelle DeWitt argued that $140,000 is just what's going in the budget. The city manager could negotiate a salary lower than that. The vote was 6-1 in favor of the budgeted salary increase, with Councilmember Alyssa Leary opposing. Next, in the river breakup. It's become kind of a game, this breakup, spotting the unattended barge moving past one Kuskokwim community after another like a ghost ship. The barge, owned by Alaska Logistics, froze in the river near Aniak last October. With breakup freeing the vessel, it has rapidly drifted over 100 miles downstream and looks to be headed out to sea. I talked to the company that owns the barge about what its plans are now. In early October, Alaska Logistics sent a barge loaded with gravel up the river headed to Red Devil. Around then is when Alaska Logistics General Manager Alan Long says the river started to freeze up.
Ice kind of caught us off guard and it got stuck in the channel.
He says the company tried to free the barge with another boat armed with an excavator, but to no avail.
It was just too late. There was too much ice in the river and everything else. So it sat there all winter and really did good for the most part.
Several days ago, residents in upriver communities reported the barge had come loose as the river broke up. Long says in anticipation of breakup, the company had filled it with hundreds of tons of water, hoping it would be more likely to beach itself on a riverbank.
You know, we thought that it would go around and hit basically one of the first or second banks, you know, because there's hairpin turns going up and down the Kuskokwim.
Instead, Long has been amazed as he's heard of the barge traveling past community after community.
I mean, it's a surprise to everybody, and it's like a life of its own. It's like, oh gosh, it's crazy. And I've talked to more people in the marine industry, and people are just amazed that it's made it even 5 miles, let alone 140 miles.
Long believes the ice has acted like a bumper for the barge, allowing it to bounce off the riverbanks on its way down. He says the ice chunks in the river have also prevented any reconnaissance missions so far.
It's too dangerous. There's no sense in trying to do anything silly.
But in a few days, Long says he expects the ice will be gone and the company will go into the water to retrieve the barge. If it reaches the mouth of the river before then, Long says the company has a plan for that as well.
We have ocean boats as well that can go out and get it or, you know, find it. And we're pretty sure it won't.
Long says once Alaska Logistics is able to reclaim its barge, it'll drain the water, inspect the boat, and maneuver it back up the Kuskokwim River through the hairpin turns and back to its original destination. The barge will reach Red Devil just a few months late. In Bethel, I'm Greg Kim. Next, in health. The Yukon-Kuskokwim Health Corporation is resuming many of its services, but not all. Chief of Staff Dr. Ellen Hodges says a Bethel hospital is trying to keep some of its facilities available in case there's a surge of COVID-19 cases in the region.
With the state reopening, we don't know if we'll suddenly get an increase in cases. And if that happens and we have to increase our capacity, we want to have some reserve left in our system.
Dr. Hodges says those patients coming to the hospital will notice some major changes.
Everyone, staff and patients alike, has to wear a mask as soon as they enter the hospital and keep the mask on at all times.
There will also be lots of routine testing for the coronavirus at YKHC. Most people will have to call ahead for appointments, and they'll be asked questions about whether they have symptoms of COVID-19 and whether they have traveled and where. Many will be required to get tested, especially those getting the type of dental care that generates the droplets that can carry the virus through the air.
They have a machine that can be used to clean the teeth that creates a fine spray, like an ultrasonic cleaner. And then anytime they have to have drilling done, those are the things that generate aerosols. Those people have to be tested.
YKHC is equipped to conduct those tests. Dental patients that need testing will be required to get the COVID-19 test 48 hours before getting the care. Hodges adds that under the new rules, there will be few walk-in patients at the clinic or hospital, and those that do arrive without an appointment will be tested for the coronavirus. She says most people will need to call ahead for appointments, and if you're having sniffles or cold-like symptoms, you may be denied care.
So we're just trying to be as cautious and as conservative as we possibly can. So if someone's having a cough or runny nose or symptoms that could be suggestive of COVID, we don't schedule the appointment unless it's a life-threatening emergency, which can happen in dental or other procedures. We're trying to not schedule their procedure unless it truly is life-threatening.
In addition, the hospital staff will not be doing some routine procedures unless it is an emergency, because the plan is to keep facilities open in case of a surge in COVID-19 cases.
So we do have the capacity to do things like colonoscopies, mammographies, and things like that. We're delaying the reopening of those services, and the main reason for that is to preserve local infrastructure and to allow for capacity in case we have a COVID-19 surge.
Bethel is in a fortunate position to keep the coronavirus pandemic out. There are only 5 flights a week bringing people into the hub community, and with only 1 positive case so far, the plan is to keep it that way. YKHC has set up voluntary airport testing for all passengers, and Hodges says so far, almost half the people landing in Bethel have taken the test, and almost half of those who didn't had already been tested in Anchorage, leaving around 25-30% who come to town and have not been tested for COVID-19. Since it is before symptoms materialize that people are most contagious, the test can give an early heads up. Hodges says everyone who flies to Bethel should be encouraged to get tested to help protect the community and the surrounding villages. All YKHC staff members who head out to the villages get tested before they go. Next, in tribal news. On Tuesday, the U.S. Treasury and Interior Departments announced they would begin dispersing part of an $8 billion tribal allocation for coronavirus relief funds. The CARES Act funding is to help tribes with the relief efforts in the fight against coronavirus. Only about 60% or $4.8 billion will initially be distributed based on the tribal population. The initial disbursement would happen over several days. President Donald Trump spoke Tuesday with indigenous leaders at a roundtable in Phoenix, Arizona.
So the amount of money that's being sent to Indian country, as we call it, is the largest amount in the history of the U.S. And you deserve it. And you've been through a lot.
The remainder of the tribal allocation would be distributed at a later date based on employment and expenditure data for each tribe or tribally owned business. The secretaries of Treasury and Interior are being sued by tribes who say the departments mishandled the tribal allocation and for the inclusion of Alaska Native regional and village corporations. A statement from the Department of Treasury says amounts calculated for Alaska Native regional and village corporations under ANCSA will be held back while that lawsuit is decided. Next, in crime. An 18-year-old Newtok man was arrested last week and charged with 3 felony counts of sexual assault and sexual abuse of a minor that happened in the community. KYUK's Christy Schallenberger reports. And a warning, the following story contains details that might not be suitable for some listeners.
18-year-old Pedro John Mark Active was arrested May 1st. 5 months after a 15-year-old girl reported that he sexually assaulted her while she slept on November 3, 2019. Charging documents say that Active spent the night at the girl's guardian's house in Newtalk that night. Active was romantically involved with the girl's guardian at that time. The girl was sleeping on the couch when Active left the bedroom and assaulted the girl, documents say. The girl woke up, demanded to know what he was doing, and that he stopped. He did. Then she and her guardian went to the Newtalk Health Clinic, where they reported the assault to the health aide. The aide called troopers. The troopers interviewed Active about the incident at the Newtalk school, where he was a high school student at the time. He told them he assaulted the girl because, quote, I got bored. Active says the girl never expressed interest in having sex with him and that he knew she was underage. Troopers asked for an arrest warrant in November, but didn't arrest him until May. Active also interned at KYUK radio station in Bethel starting in January before he returned home to Newtalk because of the coronavirus pandemic. Troopers did not respond in time for broadcast to a question about why it took so long to arrest Active. Active was arraigned on May 2nd in Bethel on 3 felony charges of sexual assault in the first degree, sexual assault in the second degree, and second degree sexual abuse of a minor. His bail is set at $50,000, and his next court hearing is set for June 10th. Reporting in Bethel, I'm Christy Schallenberger.
Next, in sports. Wednesday was a good day for Alaska wrestlers, and Bethel was all over it. The Alaska Sports Hall of Fame yesterday gave the Pride of Youth Award to 2 young wrestlers. A closer look at who won and who coached them finds Bethel coach Darren Lieb in the middle of the accomplishment. Not only did his son Hayden Lieb share the award with Anchorage wrestler Aiden Concepcion, but Concepcion's coach got his start in Bethel. When coach Randy Hansen was a student at the Bethel Regional High School, he was a member of coach Darren Lieb's wrestling squad, where he won several state titles. This is the first time the Alaska Sports Hall of Fame has given its Pride of Youth Award to 2 athletes in the same year, and the first time the honor has gone to wrestlers. Both young men were also chosen for Senior All-American Honors for 2020. Hayden Lieb was the first wrestler from Bethel to earn that national honor, and Aiden Concepcion was named to the National 2020 Academic Team. And finally, Mount Edgecombe High School is holding a virtual graduation ceremony today at 1 p.m. Pomp and circumstance will play. Guests and student speakers will deliver their commencement addresses, and diplomas will be presented, all virtually. Many of the graduates are from communities around the Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta. To join them and their families in celebration, you can find the event link on the homepage of the Mount Edgecombe High School website. That's today at 1 p.m. Congratulations, graduates. Thank you for listening to KYUK News. Please send any news tips to news@kyuk.org, and stay tuned for News Yukton coming up.